But boy, this is ugly, isn't it?
It is, but I support them 100%. I hope they sue that guy out of the universe. People think they can get away with whatever they want, and there's no consequence.
Right.
And I'm glad that there's going to be at least some here. You know, it reminds me, I don't know if you read the story, Rob, about Kurt Schilling and his daughter
yes.
from the weekend.
Yes.
I think it's fantastic that that people are publicly shaming these guys. And I hope the second thing it brings is that it's the end of people who think that reading Twitter on air is a good idea.
Well, and certainly wouldn't disagree with you there. This is, I don't even know where to go with this other than it is a little bit bizarre that, the company that is named in this lawsuit or going to be sued in this also owns the team that they play for. I mean, this is weird, right?
Yeah, but I don't blame the players for being angry. I mean,
no.
Yeah, I mean, it is weird. There's no question about that. And you know what? I feel bad for the on-air guys there, Rob, because they have nothing to do with it.
Yep.
And, I'm not going to make a lot of fun of it because it's almost like there by the grace of God go I. I mean, thankfully it wasn't, in our coverage.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so, but, I wonder, I was thinking about this actually, if, it would be interesting if they have to pay some damages because you're right, they own them. But I think the bigger question here is, you know what I guarantee is going on here is, Dion Phaneuf is protecting his wife.
Yep.
She is a public figure, but this is very different for her. And, they're used to, Lupul and Phaneuf are used to getting attacked in certain ways. They have been all their careers. This is new to her, and I guarantee you that one of the reasons that this is happening is because of that. And the other reason is that this lawyer, Peter Gall, who filed the lawsuit or made the statement, he's the guy who represented Brian Burke when he did his thing. So there's a lot of connections here.
The Phil Kessel story today as well. Can you shed some light on this for me, Elliot? We played the audio. Did he make his own standalone statement or was he responding to a question?
No, he started.
Okay.
Yeah, they're in Florida today. They're playing the Panthers tonight.
Right.
He started this. This has kind of been brewing for a while. This team is certainly under siege. And just the sheer volume in Toronto, when things are going badly, they're terrible. We're very much, like a lot of other cities, but because of our volume, it makes it harder. We're very much reactionary to the last game. And the last few games haven't been very good. They've lost 16 in a row on the road with only 2 points in those games.
Right.
It's like an avalanche. It builds, it builds, and it builds, and you feel like you're being shut in. A lot of those players are on social media. They get it too. You top it off with what happened yesterday, and finally these guys blew up. And the one thing that they have to understand is that they have to take responsibility for the way the team is playing. That's on them. That's not on the media. But I could see this whole thing yesterday happening with Phaneuf and Lupul and Alicia Cuthbert, and it's just like it's enough for them. They and I guarantee to you too, Rob, I bet you some of those guys, if not all of them, were hoping they were going to be traded yesterday.
I hate to use a word like this because it, maybe I should use this word. Is this unprecedented? You kind of alluded to the fact that, the lawsuit component aside to it, when they lose some games, things go bad in that marketplace. Is it worse right now than it has been in any time period that you remember?
No.
Okay.
The only difference now is just the media and the coverage and the social media. There is no way it's worse now than it was when Ballard owned the team. There is just no way at all. I grew up in Toronto. I remember that team making the playoffs with 50 points in a season because the Red Wings and the North Stars were worse than they were. Rob, you're of a generation. You grew up where the Calgary Flames knew that if they even wanted to get a sniff of the conference final, they had to go through Edmonton.
Yep.
And, I grew up in Toronto knowing that as bad as that team was, nobody in the division was much better. You always knew you had a chance because everybody in the Norris was terrible. And, it was run so badly, and the owner was the late owner was such an idiot. And, the only difference between then and now is the media and the social media. Like, I was flying, I'm in Anaheim today, and I was actually talking about this morning with Craig Simpson, who's on my flight. And we were saying, could you imagine the Toronto Maple Leafs in the Herald Ballard area if Twitter existed? Yeah. It would have been insane.
Yeah. With Elliot Freeman from Hockey Night Canada and Sportsnet, I kind of get my back up when people want to declare winners and losers after something like a trade deadline when nobody's played a single game. So I won't ask you that, but what I will ask you is who caught your eye? Who were the teams that you noticed the most in the last 48, 72 hours?
The team that really made me most curious is the team I'm going to see tomorrow night here, and that's the Ducks.
Right.
We're the back end of our doubleheader is Montreal at Anaheim. And, you know, you look at a team, yesterday they had 87 points. They were second in the NHL, 2 points out of the President's Trophy. And look what they did in the past 5 days. I mean, they totally remodeled their blue line again. They're probably going to end up using 16 defensemen this year at least. That says a lot to me about where they think they are and where they think they're going. And lurking just out of a playoff berth right there is the LA Kings, who they could get in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure both Nashville and Anaheim are looking at LA and saying, please not us. To me, Anaheim really stood out and for what they did. And the other thing is, like, I made this joke with you. When Buffalo made the trades it made, you know, people were joking, what's Don Maloney going to do to counter?
Yeah.
We found out.
Yeah.
Boy, could you imagine the two games that those two guys have to play against each other? No, you're going to get sent down to the American Hockey League if you shoot at the other net.
Yeah, I was going to say those might be the longest shootouts we've ever seen in National Hockey League history. It's, you know, because it came up yesterday in a conversation with Eric DeHatchek, I want to ask you, because
yep.
Eric really seemed to, it really seemed to irk him a little bit that you had teams that, you know, are getting praised for lack of a term, tanking or whatever. I mean, you know, Buffalo's traded all the goalies it's had this year, and it's brought in guys that aren't that good. You know, you look at what the Coyotes – is there an issue here, Elliot? Do you look at that?
Well, as a sports person, the idea is to compete, right?
Right.
And if you're any kind of a competitive guy, it sucks. Like, I know – I can only imagine, like, Don Maloney – like, I've seen games – where Don Maloney has lost his mind because his team was losing. I've seen games where in Ottawa where Tim Murray is, like, shaking because his team is playing poorly.
Right.
But in the Cab era, you understand that teams have to go through that periodically. It's just a fact. Maybe it's not what a true competitor believes in, but unfortunately it has to happen. What I would like to see, though, and they've started to do it beginning next year, is that if you are consistently bad, you shouldn't get an advantage. I think there should be an incentive to improve every year. And that is what I would like to see change.
It's never dull. I before we go, and I say this all the time about the local hockey heroes, just a thought on the Calgary Flames situation, I think most people around here really didn't seem to react negatively that they didn't go out and add anything. When you look at the marketplace, what could they have added? But with no Mark Giordano for the rest of the year, how did you view Brad Treliving's trade deadline?
Well, he had to do what he did. Like, you know, if you look at what the rentals were going for,
yep.
I know everybody in Edmonton was aflame that's all they got for Petrie, but that's still potentially a good price. Like, how does it benefit you to make that move if you're the Calgary Flames? Like, even if you get Coburn, who's got a year left on his contract, do you think that trade that the Philadelphia Flyers made would make sense for Calgary, or
no.
The Tampa Bay Lightning made would make sense for Calgary?
No.
I don't. I'll tell you this. My heart bleeds for Giordano. You know, this is going to cost him a very legitimate chance at the Norris Trophy. And I think also, you know, even more importantly, you know that it's going to be killing them watching those games. You know, someday, you know, I really believe the Flames let him take that warm-up as much as saying to themselves, you know what, this is a guy who's played his heart out for us. He wants to take it. We're going to give him a chance. I think they knew going out there that there was no chance he was going to be able to play, but they did it because of how he's played for them. It's a real shame. But, you know, all you can do now is, I really believe this, One man's injury is another man's opportunity. And even though it's your best player and your most important player, other guys are going to have to step up and say, I'm going to make a difference. And this is where you find out what you really have in your team, too. It's a built-in, easy excuse, Rob, but you see who your competitors are.
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly with you. Thanks for doing this. If you can, find a way to enjoy Anaheim, and we will talk to you on Thursday.
All right. Take care, Rob. Speak to you later.